that was a trumpet song.
Hallelujah.
So, I told my sister about it, and she goes, she's not where we are spiritually, but, right. You know, she goes, okay.
Yeah. And you know what, this is what I had heard just before we got here. Her name's Marge Bone. Do you know Marge? Her husband was a pastor up in the Boyne City area.
You said her last name's Long?
Marge Spone. Oh. Spone. And anyways, Marge Spone sent me a message, and she said that her church was celebrating also the Feast of the Trumpets, and they were also watching a video of the Wailing Wall. And what's really exciting is she said that there were two witnesses, and the two witnesses that were on the Wailing Wall was watching to see what was going on. And if, when the sun goes down, the moon goes up, if there's a silver lining around it, they're blowing the trumpets because they know in Israel that soon Jesus is returning. And so I just got that as I came in and went, wow. And then Joe and I were watching the Wailing Wall and on TV, on YouTube, and it was showing how the God's names were appearing out of nowhere on the Wailing Wall. Well, you can believe it or not, but we saw it. And this is what I had heard, that He is God Almighty. Isn't that awesome? He is God Almighty.
Yes, He is.
He is the God of the glory. And you know, many people don't know what you're talking about when you talk about glory. They don't celebrate it in their church, but when His glory comes in, it's like a cloud, it's like a mist. No matter how you're celebrating, no matter how you're worshiping, whether you're doing some of the modern songs, or whether you're doing contemporary songs, or whether you're doing the hymns, when His glory comes in, you can see it and you can feel it, and there's a weight to it. Maybe the last four Sundays, a great visitation from the Holy Spirit. He's been so present here in the church that people have come even from the Cadillac area and have given words in tongues, and people have interpreted, and you can just feel the weight of His glory. And last Sunday, there was utter silence. Here we're doing praise and worship, and silence fell. And what that means is, it's like His presence. And it was so...
Reverence.
Yeah, His reverence. It was so... I can tell you truthfully, the last four Sundays have been ignited. It's just been wonderful. And just to know that He's here. And I had a lady that messaged me, and she saw us on Facebook. And she said to me, "What are those lions that you got up there?" And I thought to myself, I didn't answer it right away. I didn't know what to say. I knew what it meant, but I didn't want to upset her. And I wanted to say the right thing. And I told her, I said, "Well, we're non-denominational, but we're Spirit-filled. We believe in the Holy Spirit. This is His church, His place. And when you see the lion up there, that is a representation of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And what that means is that's when Jesus returns for His bride, for His church, for His remnant church that is here right now. He is coming as a mighty, mighty lion." And I wrote that to her, and her response was, "Wow, cool." Huh? Yeah, and it was out of Revelation. And the Lord also said this, for all of us to realize that we trust in Him. All of us have been through the storms this year, and the battle is His.
Amen.
All you have to do is lift up His name. And He gave me that at 7 o'clock this morning, so I just wrote it on a little piece of paper. My congregation is used to knowing this.
Exodus 14:14 says, "I will fight for you. You need only to be still."
That's right. And so we're going to praise the Lord and praise right with us. And the words are going to come up on the screen. And Chris is going to run the sound, correct?
Yes.
Chris? Okay, well, we're ready. Let's praise the Lord. We had Karen and I just chose three songs. She usually does a lot of the music here. And the Lord said, no, there had to be four.
Four.
And I thought, well, what am I supposed to do for the fourth one? He goes, no, it's the first one. And I went, no, no, no. So I'm having this kind of mental thing with the Lord.
And I was in the kitchen, and I was praying that God would reveal it to her.
And we're going to sing this song, and it's talking about all of us being in the army of the Lord by Rick Pino.
Yeah,
and that's where we're going to start. We're going to start out in warfare. So feel comfortable. Flag it. Do whatever. And are we ready?
Yes.
Yeah, all the songs are on the computer. We got them all programmed. So.
Ready?
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
And hopefully some of you know this is my husband, Joe. Oh, I know what else I wanted to say, too, was this. Karen, when her and I went to Florida, we were on a mission. And when we went to the Holy Land in Florida. And we were also going to this particular church. And we knew how to get there. It just seemed like it took a long time. And it was in Orlando. And it was Benny Hinn's church. And when we went there, there was a store. And Karen got the last tallit. Do you know what the tallit is, right? The tallit is the prayer shawl. And hers was with the shofars. That's what she plays. And the gal told us this was the last one. And I said, well, I believe in the fire of the Lord. And she goes, oh, you do? And so we usually have these up front. And this one here was the last one. And it was the fire of the Lord. And the fire consumes you and me and consumes everything that's not right. And I was so excited. And in my congregation, they already know this. But I ended up going to Barbara Yoder's church, which is in Ann Arbor, and the guy, Arnott, called me out of the crowd and had me come up front, and he goes, lady, he goes, there's so much fire in you, you need to give it away, because that's what people need. And I thought, oh, he doesn't know very much, does he?
Bella.
And I'll explain that to you.
How can we get one of those?
You want me, hon?
No.
Oh, Bella.
That's what I asked, too.
No.
I want one of those.
Start like
so if you're not used to using the banners, get up, dance, move, clap your hands. We're loud.
Christopher, can you give me the tambourine from under there?
Oh,
Thank you. I'm Bye.
Okay, let's get up here and blow them.
I don't know how.
How is Christopher?
What?
You can tell me you are.
The shofars, these are right from Israel, and they open up the heavens, and that's what the Lord is doing today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this will be the sound when the rapture comes that you will be hearing. Come into the secret place, come into the secret closet, spend time with the Lord. Well, if you were to put on your prayer shawl, and you were praying, this is what I love. Number one, Satan doesn't know if you are male or female. And what is really powerful about this is that you are 100% in the presence of the King. You are praying directly to Him. So all the stuff that's going on out here, kids crying, you know, the internet going nuts, the TV going, the game starting, when you shut yourself away in prayer with the Lord, it's you and Him.
Hallelujah.
That's a tallit. And I really love the tallit. We've had ours a long time, and we pray with them all the time.
Yeah.
And but anyways, I kind of want to give you some more information from the Lord. He said, unlike modern New Year celebrations, Rosh Hashanah is very special. It is the time to celebrate all that the Lord has done for you. Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of the Trumpets. My husband always said to me, all these feasts, there's so many different names to them. This is the High Holy Day. And so while we're having service here, while we're praying here, while we're celebrating the King, it is also going on in other nations. And Rosh Hashanah usually starts at sunset. So that's why I tried to get as close as I could to like 7. But anyways, what is really special about it is the sounding of the shofar. I don't know about you, hopefully that stirred you. And so I love teaching on the shofar. When Joe and I came up here on a permanent basis, the Lord allowed us to go around and to teach in different churches about the shofar. They had never heard it. I said, so what is it like when you hear that you know that the Lord is coming back for His bride? Some people believe in the rapture. Do you know some people don't believe in it at all? I believe it sooner than you know. But the Word of God says that Jesus doesn't even know Himself when He's coming back. Only God the Father knows that. So when we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, we're celebrating New Year's, we're celebrating new beginnings, a new change. So when the shofar was blown, way back in Bible times, and you can study it, and if you'd like to know the scriptures, I'd love to tell you the scriptures that I've all written down. It would tell people to come and gather. So if you were spread out, even in your homes, and this group that was up here stood up here on top of the rooftop, and we blew the shofar, and we told you to come, you knew to come, you would know that sound because there's no other sound like it. And in the Bible times, there were so many mountains, and so it would echo.
They didn't have cell phones.
But I think it's so powerful to understand that shofar and the different sounds that it makes. And one of the things that I put down here was that the sounding of shofar isn't for just Jews, it's for everybody.
There's a spider that was right on her hand.
Huh?
It went right here, and it went down. There's a spider that was on her hand. He just wants to join us, too.
Right.
Well, there's different customs, and there's different symbols of Rosh Hashanah. And one of the foods that they eat in during this festival is they always have apples and they dunk honey in it. And some people put cinnamon in it today, but usually it was the sweetness. There's a reason behind that. Because the first fruits was the apple, but the sweetness of what he was going to do for the new year was the honey. And so they always started out with that. And we're going to participate in some different Jewish foods that we have already prepared for you. Mm-hmm. And one of the breads that they ate, of course, was the pita bread. And I'm really serious. I went to 4 different stores to buy pita bread. I never knew it was such a difficult task up here. And usually the true pita bread actually has no yeast in it, which means it's kind of like parallel, like to sin. There's no sin in, the leaven. Yeah. And anyways, the pita bread I got, it's got leaven in it. It's been raised, it's puffed up and everything. But they used to eat shalah, and it is called C-H-A-L-L-H. And if you've never seen it, Shop and Save makes it. And it looks like twisted bread. And what they used to do during the Feast of Trumpets is they would take little pieces of bread and they would find the river, which was the Jordan River, and they would throw the bread into the Jordan River, which was symbolic of the sin in our lives. This is what I tell my congregation, like what Joe and I tell them all the time. If you do not feel that you've committed some kind of a sin every day in your life, then you're a liar. Because without the Holy Spirit, he's the only one that can guide and direct us. And we all commit something. We do something that's wrong, but we have a promise from the Lord that when we repent of that, you know, he takes care of us. He forgives us, but he knows our heart. And that's why we have our hearts all over the sanctuary. Well, anyways, another thing that I put down here is the term that they use is casting off. And I said to the Lord, well, Lord, I can't find the shalah bread, so what are we supposed to do? And this is what he said to me, and I was very excited. He said, I want everybody to have a rock. And I said, rock. He said, tell everybody to take a rock. So I'm going to hand those around while I'm talking.
Kim, and you can't take more than one.
Oh.
I don't know. I tried. The Lord told me how many people were going to be here. And I just really want to tell you this. You know, I thank Karen. She was here. And Lisa was here to help decorate and set up this vision from the Lord. And truthfully, there's just only one chair. And I really felt it was going to be another pastor that's in this house. But anyways, I just want you to know, isn't God good? He knows where you're at. Yeah. He knows where you're at.
Amen.
I don't know about you, that's exciting to me.
More than one way.
To get the one.
That is so exciting, though.
Yeah, he hears all, he sees all. Judy and I communicate back and forth all the time. You know, I say, how's this going? How's that going? He knows us.
I just found out about this a couple of weeks ago.
You did.
Okay,
well, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
But anyways, I really kind of want to take a few seconds and just tell you that they use the bread, and they have honey and apples and pomegranates. And if you've never had the grape leaves, we're doing grape leaves tonight. And I made lentil soup. When I told my husband I was making lentil soup, he goes, lentil soup. Lentil soup, it is, it's pink lentil, black lentil, navy beans, and it's just like eating bean soup.
Oh, yay.
And it's made with just different vegetables in it and organic vegetable broth, and you cook it probably 5-6 hours. I couldn't tell my.
No wonder.
Yeah, and but it was funny because he went, oh, that's just bean soup.
Yep.
That was the Lord. We have figs for you to try. My husband does not like olives. And I said, well, what kind of olives don't you like? He goes, all of them. And Jemiah made it, huh? Yeah, sorry. But let me tell you, we have garlic olives. We have Mediterranean olives. We have green olives. We have black olives. We have, I think, 5 different varieties
yes.
out there.
Nice, nice.
And so it'll be kind of fun just to try one, try something different. And you'd be surprised because none of them taste the same. They don't.
They're all wonderful.
And they're all wonderful. Yes, thank you.
We got someone in the house that doesn't like them.
Yeah. And they did eat meat back then. I don't want to upset you, but they did. And they were very big on fish. And but we decided that we would do the soup instead, and there's tons of salads out there. So we tried to even look up recipes that were back in that time, and someone even made a Greek salad, which maybe they did use, and maybe they didn't in the Jewish time, but we're going to do it.
A lot of stuff I think they would have ate.
Huh?
A lot of stuff in there they probably would have ate.
Yes, I was just shocked
just
by that.
Just be careful, because those olives do have pits.
Yeah, some of the olives have pits and some don't, so, you know, to be careful about that.
The ones in the salad do have pits, so we have to let everybody know that, they do have pits.
Yeah, don't just bite down.
So just don't take a big old good bite.
Okay.
I have no idea.
You have machines.
Be kind of interesting.
I was always taught that when you hear the sound of the shofar, that it was not just always calling the people, but the heavens were to open up. And, you know, maybe that wasn't kind of like some of the music that you do, but didn't you get excited?
Yes.
Didn't just the sound, just the sound. And it, and I want, and I'd love to tell this to people. Heaven's noisy. Because the word talks about horns blowing, cymbals banging, drums going. It talks about the harp. It's loud. So I'm just telling you, even louder than what we're doing here. And sometimes I know maybe you go, oh, okay, she's whack. But sometimes when Joe's playing the drums and we've moved away, you know, from our musical instruments, we have heard the drums play. We've heard the angels play alongside of us. And I'll tell you what, that's amazing. Have I looked into the face of an angel sitting on that drum? No. But you can hear it because who else could be doing it? There's nobody else to do it. And so we just really get excited. We just love worshiping him. There's a big difference. Praising him, the singing the songs, but worshiping him comes from your heart. And anyways, it said the shofar was blown, when I did some more research on this, it was blown by God himself from his mountain. And the people trembled because it echoed. It is here that we have the reverence for the sound of the shofar. And it says here that even Christians now, which is us here, I don't know if some of you are Jewish or not, but now we celebrate right along with them because we have been grafted in. We are heirs
to
Christ, all of us. And that excites me, and I love talking about that.
Makes me kind of want to be Jewish. I wish I was Jewish.
Yeah, and so sometimes when we mention the word trumpet or the word mentions trumpet, I want you to know that it's the shofar. And I wrote down here, I don't know if you're listening or not, but in Genesis 22, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, tells about the reason for the shofar. And it's powerful. Genesis 22, 12. So if you like want to write it down and go back to it, I love that because I always tell everybody here, so does Joe, even when a word is given, if you can't take it and find another word, throw it out. 12
to 15?
Just skip one. Genesis 22, it says 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's all it says. Those are the reasons for the blowing of the shofar.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing in Exodus, it was noted as a voice. And it says, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings.
Exodus what?
Exodus 19, verse 16 through 18. Talks about when the shofar blows, it's like thunders and lightnings. And when you talk about the throne room of God, you see, we're not under the old covenant. But the old covenant and the New Testament, the Old Testament is parallel. They go hand in hand. They balance each other. And what I love to talk about is that when I did a teaching on the throne room, going into the throne room, you will be able to go into the throne room of God, not of your own doing, but because of the finished work on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Because of his blood. That's the only way that you are getting into the throne room. I don't know about you. I think that's something to celebrate.
Amen.
I think it's something to celebrate to know what he did for us. Hallelujah. I love that. So I kind of want to kind of share that with you. I also put down here that the Lord wanted me to share this as well. So if you could just kind of bear with me. We are his remnant army. If you're going to church, if you're serving the Lord, you are part of his remnant army. My gosh, what does that mean? That means that you are going to participate in his great name, using his name, using the word, and you're going to bring in the harvest.
Explain what that means.
The harvest means that you're going to be bringing in the people that have no idea about Jesus Christ at all.
They're ready.
And they're ready. They're just waiting. And so what the Lord, or at least what I've been talking about, is it's going to be the young and the old coming together. Mm-hmm. Because the old people, that's many of us, we have wisdom of the word. The young people have the energy and they're trying to learn. They're trying to understand. Is this for real or isn't this for real? Mm-hmm. And it's so amazing if you watch YouTube at all to see the young kids that are like 5, 6, three. I saw a three-year-old who was out preaching the word. I thought, what a three-year-old. I think I had cramps.
God is good.
And God is so good because these kids, I can say it that way, are being prepared. That's what we are celebrating right here, Rosh Hashanah. That is powerful. There's a younger generation that is coming forth. And we've got three of them. Chris was just doing the sound. He's a senior this year, right, Chris?
Junior.
A junior this year. And how old are you guys?
14.
14. Come on, people. That's exciting. I get so excited about this, seeing the young people get involved in trying to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm proud of them.
Can I share something yesterday? Yes. Yesterday, over the weekend, I met my great niece for the first time. She's 8 months old.
Okay.
And the mother, my niece, said she don't normally go to anybody. And she just came to me, and as I was talking to her about the Lord, she was just like, wow. You know, it was like this hunger, and her mom was like, wow, I've never seen that. And I said, it's the Spirit of the Lord.
It is.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
A lot of younger children really kind of cling to my husband. And I always say to him, Joe, wow, man, look at these kids. You know, they're just clinging to you and stuff. And I really believe that's from the Lord as well. I do. I really do.
Do you have another one?
Oh, yeah.
I know Karen had her grandkids. I know I've got my grandbabies, too. And I bring them right up. Not to embarrass them.
They love it.
But they, just to watch them worship, oh my gosh, it's wonderful. And you know what? Only churches bind you. They don't give you, the religion just doesn't give you the freedom.
Amen.
There is freedom in the Lord.
Amen.
There's freedom here.
There's freedom. Freedom. You know, I remember having, oh my gosh, just a little one. I don't know, how old is the little one, three?
Just turned three.
And he would look over at me, and then he'd look over at his grandma, and then he'd play a little bit, and it was just, no, I'm talking about the little boy.
And Daxton.
And so just watching them, observing them, is powerful, and I feel that they have the right to have that opportunity. Because I don't know about you, because it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we should be celebrating that.
They could all come.
Everything is done in the name of the Lord. Everything. This meeting here, this is for His glory. This is just to tell you about Him, His goodness. In the name of the Lord, He is Almighty. I don't know about you, that excites me. I've known the Lord a long time. But when you use His name, the Word of God says that every demon of hell has to bow down.
Amen. Amen.
So when you know that you are a daughter or a son of the Most High God, and a storm or an enemy comes at you, you can use His great name. And they have to bow down. And this is what I want to tell you. You have to stand. You might have to tell that enemy quite a few times to back off. You just don't ever give up. And another thing that he told me is that every person that would be here has had storms in their life, and they've put on some pretty good masks. And the Lord said, but He brought you through it.
It's been hard.
It's been really hard. And the Lord said, this is what He showed me. It was so powerful about a couple days ago. He took me back to David. And I thought, David, what does that have to do about Rosh Hashanah? And He said, David conquered the giant. The storms, the things that have been in your life is like a Goliath. A giant.
Taunting up front for how many days?
It was unbelievable what he said. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said that there are becoming new generals in his army. That because of people in your lives, that sometimes you don't feel you're good enough, smart enough. Certain things cause you to not feel like you're important. This is what I heard from the Lord for I don't know, a few days. And he said, because I've taken you through the storm, and because you've been through it, you're my new generals in my new army, and you're going to bring many more into the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe that.
It was so powerful. I got out of bed and I just fell on my knees, and the Lord, sometimes when the Lord dictates to me, I can barely write, I can barely keep up, and people know that. But the Lord kept on saying that there is a charge that's being heralded from heaven to raise up faithful soldiers.
Oh, come on, come on.
He said, every person that is sitting at this table tonight is in active service. He said, some of you have been what they call hidden ones, that you're not always the person that might be up front. You might be way in the back, and really no one really notices you. But the Lord said, from this day on, because of how humble you were, you are going to be that general in the army, and you will be strong and hidden no more.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I thought it was powerful.
Very powerful.
He said, many of you have been through the fire, but you've been refined. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we go through the fire so that he can make us better. And there are, when we go through the fire, we have to kind of lay ourselves down and surrender. Mm-hmm. And he said, some of you have been in the desert. And he said that some of you have been betrayed. That there was someone sitting here that you felt you were really, really close to someone, and you found out that wasn't true. The Lord said that some people that were here, you still remain humble and you never attack back at them. And the Lord is aware of that. And the Lord said that you are becoming fit to lead.
Yes.
He's given you spiritual weapons you don't even know about. And there are some sitting at this table that's known the Lord all their life. But you're sick. You could have arthritis. You could have cancer. Diabetes. All kinds of things. And the Lord said that that's going to be gone.
Hallelujah.
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 That's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
The Lord said that some of you have backbones of steel, that every person that would be here tonight would have a tender heart. And most people just don't understand you. We call them mercy gifts in the Bible. You got a good heart. So I wrote that down. And this is what he said. I'm rising my army up and I'm training you. But the rock that you're holding is the rock like what David held. And I'm going to hand you out something, and you're just going to draw it. And what the vision was from the Lord was this. He said, when David came up against Goliath, and I could sit here, you could check my Facebook out because I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to talk about the giants in the Bible time. And who they were, what they stood for, but we have giants today.
Yep.
The sickness, no provision, whatever. Are you following me what I'm trying mm-hmm. to show from the Spirit? Well, anyways, the Lord showed me that when David stood up with his sling and his rock, that he just didn't throw it like this. Because I remember when my kids were little and we were playing baseball, I'd throw the ball like that. And one of my sons said to me, "Mama, you throw the ball like a girl." I am a girl.
Yeah.
No, Mom, you don't, you know, like when you're really playing, when you're really aiming at something, you're not throwing underhanded like that. David didn't take that slingshot and that rock and just do one of these things. It says that he kind of got in position. And he had no fear because he knew the Lord God himself was with him. And it said he took that rock and when he went like this with the... And this is what the Lord showed me, that all of you need to do this. Mm-hmm. If you can do it physically, you need to get the power of the Holy Spirit behind that rock and throw it.
So we need to do the wind-up.
You need to do, yeah, good one, the wind-up.
Like
this is what the
yeah.
Lord said to me.
All the demonic forces around.
Yes.
This is like... Slips them, like hits them as you're going around.
People
right?
Good idea.
The Lord gave me these specific ones. And so I tried typing them up. I'm not a typist, oh dear God, it's scary. That's true. But anyways, there's all kinds of enemies right here. And the Lord said, "You're to draw one of these tonight." And then he told me that we were going to go out to our cross out here. And you're going to take that rock, and I'll just pull one if you don't mind. This one says provision financially. And I'm going to claim this like this. I'm going to swing this rock, and I'm going to declare that all giants of provision and finances that have affected me, you will be destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So hopefully you understand what I'm saying.
So one is the giant and one's the proclamation of the
name. Yes. So I'm handing you the proclamations.
Okay.
What you say. And the line is one of these that you're drawing. And I don't want you to... Yeah, and I want you just to draw. So.
Is it just the one?
Oh, this is the clarity.
Yes. What you're going to do is you're going to say, you're going to go out to the cross, and you're going to say, "I declare all giants," let's say,
okay.
This might say sexual sin, "will be destroyed in Jesus' name." You take that rock and you're throwing it right by the cross because everything was done on the cross. And that's the vision I had.